And welcome to our fourth annual telesummit on the right ADHD trail. Unfortunately, I had to take last year off due to family losses. But we're back today with 15 highly educated experts in the ADHD field. They will share their knowledge and experience with us to help you climb the pinnacle of success. We're going to fill your backpack with tools to help you navigate the daily challenges of living with ADHD. I am your host, Kathy Gett, owner of Gett Focus. I am a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. You can find out more about me and my coaching practice at www.getfocus.com. Are you already worried? How am I going to find the time to listen this weekend? I have a solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you will have an extended digital access to all the recordings, a transcript of our audio interviews, and as a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking, let's get started and meet our next presenter, Alex High. Alex High is an ADHD coach, author, and the founder of Reset ADHD, a company dedicated to giving those with ADHD the opportunity to hit the reset button on their ADHD. Through his writing, coaching, and other offerings, Alex guides those with ADHD to work with their brains, not against them. He uses his unique life experience as well as his training from the ADD Coach Academy to offer his content and coaching. Alex lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but is able to coach anyone throughout the world. To learn more, visit resetadhd.com. Welcome, Alex. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So today, Alex is going to talk to you about the formula for falling asleep. Now, we all know that sleep can be tricky for those with ADHD. Shutting down the ADHD brain at night to fall asleep can be a real challenge. So his presentation will cover the challenges those with ADHD have with sleep and a simple formula that can make falling asleep easier. So Alex, tell us about everything. The formula for falling asleep. Why is sleep so important?
Yeah, sleep is, like, crazy important. One of the main things that happens during sleep is the elimination of toxins from the brain, including a protein called beta amyloid. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But that's the protein that builds up in Alzheimer's patients. So, like, it appears
right.
That getting good sleep will help prevent Alzheimer's.
Okay.
In addition to the elimination of toxins, you're able to better regulate your emotions. The amygdala and the prefrontal cortex have this nice sort of relationship when you've got plenty of sleep. When you're sleep deprived, that goes away, and your amygdala, that emotional gas pedal, is going to be out of control. Additionally, you'll have a boost in concentration if you get plenty of sleep. You'll have a boost in creativity, a boost in memory, boost to the immune system, better performance athletically and scholastically. Also, there's an increased likelihood of healthier eating habits. When you've gotten plenty of sleep, the chemical that makes you feel full is at a nice high level. When you're sleep deprived, the chemical that makes you feel hungry is at a high level. So you're more likely to eat more when you're sleep deprived. In addition, the foods that are high in calories are more enticing when you're sleep deprived. Another interesting study that they did was you look more attractive when you've had plenty of sleep. So if you're looking to impress someone, get plenty of sleep.
I have never in all my years heard that one. I think that's a really good selling point. Especially when you're applying for these jobs and things like that. So get plenty of sleep. Okay. or when you're meeting someone for the very first time, you're
yep.
going to look more attractive. Okay, that sounds good. And isn't it true that when we don't have the sleep that we need, we go for those high carbs?
Yes, we go for the high calorie foods.
High calorie foods, you just, we're like craving all day.
Mm-hmm. That is true, yeah.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, and sometimes isn't it true that we see a significant weight gain because of lack of sleep?
Yeah, just for those unhealthy eating habits. And generally, if you've got better exercise, you've got better sleep. So if you have poor sleep, your exercise might not be where it's at. So there are lots of correlations to weight gain with a lack of sleep.
Right. Very much true. Well, Alex, what is your experience with sleep?
Oh, good question. So when I was a little kid, I could never fall asleep in a timely fashion. I would lay awake probably for at least an hour, maybe more, just trying to fall asleep and nothing would happen.
Uh-huh.
The key issue was that I would be thinking about deep stuff. Like even at a young age, I was thinking about really deep topics. And
like
so...
What would be one of your deep topics?
Well, you know, I grew up in a Catholic family, so like religion was a huge
right.
part of our life. And so I would be thinking, does God really exist? And I use the same logic that St. Thomas Aquinas used to prove the existence of God philosophically.
Uh-huh.
Even though I had never read St. Thomas Aquinas. So that's kind of the way my brain works. You know, I also thought about stuff like my parents' divorce. I thought about stuff like what would happen if you drilled a hole all the way through Earth and you dropped like a stone or something down the hole. Would it
uh-huh.
fly out the other end? Would it get caught somewhere in the middle? Like, those were the things that my brain was thinking about when it was supposed to be thinking about sleep.
Very creative imagination.
Yeah.
And thoughts. Well, did you have any bad thoughts? You know, like my daughter would have some, I'm going to die if I go to sleep. I'm going to, you know, things like that. And I've had other clients talk about that. Did you have anything like that?
I wasn't afraid of sleep. I didn't have any of those, like, scary thoughts about what's going to happen to me if I fall asleep. It was mainly,
uh-huh.
like, trying to make sense of my life and the bad things that were going on in my life during my waking hours, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. Wow. So your mind just was racing all the time.
Exactly.
And then how were you functioning when you didn't get that sleep?
Not the greatest. I would constantly be tired. I'm thinking about like seventh grade, sitting in homeroom just at the start of the school day and just laying my head on the desk trying to get a few minutes of sleep before classes actually started up. And it was happening so often that like I would get comments on it and people would ask me, Alex, how much sleep are you getting? And I would
uh-huh.
say, you know, I go to bed at this time. And they're like, oh, that's not so bad. But I think what was happening was I wasn't getting to sleep as quickly as I would have liked. And so that
yeah.
left me feeling tired the next day, sluggish. You know, my grades weren't where I was capable of being. But I was also undiagnosed ADHD at the time. So,
yeah.
So there were multiple factors into underachieving. But I think sleep was a huge issue in my lack of, you know, excelling in school when I was younger.
Yeah. Did you have a hard time then in getting up in the mornings and everything? Was that just unbelievable?
Yeah, that was very hard. Just listening to my alarm go off for long periods of time was just
mm-hmm.
rough. But also there were times where, like, my mom would have to come wake me up even in high school because I had slept through my alarm or something like that.
Right.
So, yeah, just feeling really tired, really groggy in the morning. I'm definitely not a morning person on top of it. So trying to get out of bed in the morning has always been a challenge.
Are you doing better now?
I'm doing a little bit better, you know, falling asleep and getting good quality sleep. Getting out of bed is still a little bit of a challenge, but I've got systems in place to help me more than I had in place back when I was younger. So, you know, most every day I'm getting up on time.
Well, good. That's good. I was very lucky. I haven't had the problems with sleep, but I have many children that have had the problem with sleep. They never go to bed. There wasn't any reason to go to bed because they knew they weren't going to go to sleep and everything. And one of them was diagnosed with ADHD and is doing better as an adult and has done some medicine, but tends to do more of the exercise and stuff. But it's a really a bear for so many people with ADHD because you're laying in bed and your mind is racing and you're just like, what do I do? And I believe I have ADHD. I believe I was self-diagnosed when I went through the program and everything. And I have noticed as I've gotten older, I'm having some of these ADHD issues with my sleep, thinking in bed, stuff like, you know, ruminating, which I never did before. But if I exercise really well that before I go to bed or during that day, it seems to help a lot. But I never really could understand it, but experience it now. I'm like, oh, yeah, now I can see why people have such a hard time. Well, Alex, talking about all this sleep, you say there's a sleep formula. Are you willing to tell us about it?
I am. I am willing to share it with you. First, a bit about how it came about. It was just my own frustrations with sleep that led me to keep trying different things. You know, at a young age, I said, well, I'm just someone who has a hard time falling asleep at night. And I kind of left it for a number of years. But around college, you know, early out of college, I started really experimenting with my sleep, trying to find what's going to work. And I stumbled across this three-part formula that helps me fall asleep at night. And quite honestly, I think it can help others. So this formula is in bed plus feeling tired plus a calm mind equals sleep. So if we could just take each one of those one by one.
Yes, please.
So in bed, you have to physically get into bed. Not easy. Because one of the problems with getting to sleep is actually physically stopping what you're doing and getting physically into bed.
Right.
It sounds simple, yet it's really hard for those of us with ADHD. We tend to have one more thing-itis. So we want to keep doing that one more thing. Or if we get stuck on one thing, just getting hyper-focused on it. Or thinking to ourselves, I have to finish this before I go to bed.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you don't always have to finish it. So that's where, like, good executive function strategies can come in. And sometimes it takes a bedtime alarm or some sort of thing that's going to get you to stop doing what you're doing and make the shift over to bedtime. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because I know exactly what you're talking about, because, you know, you can get doing, you're doing something and you're like, okay, and I need to go to bed, but, oh, just let me get this done first and then I'll go to bed. And then it goes on and goes on. So where I say I'm going to be in bed at 10, I end up at about 11. So, yeah. So got to work on getting physically into that bed.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then the next part is feeling tired.
Yeah. How does that
happen? You actually have to feel tired.
Okay.
If you're not feeling tired and you lay down, there's nothing magical that's going to happen to make you feel tired. So there are some things we do during the day that prevent us from feeling tired when bedtime rolls around.
Okay.
The number one thing we can do to avoid that behavior of doing the opposite of what is going to make us feel tired is avoiding exercise. So if we get exercise in during the day, you will have a better night's sleep. You will feel tired. There's science to back this up. Now, they do say you want to be careful about doing exercise too close to bedtime. If you're exercising and then immediately jumping into bed, you might be a little jazzed. You might be a little energized. There are some people, though, who can do that. Exercise and then hop right into bed. I can kind of do that. But for me, it's just important to get some exercise in during the day.
Yes.
Very important. The other thing we can do is we can avoid caffeine later in the day.
Ooh, caffeine, that's hard.
That is hard. And I'm not saying you can't have caffeine at all. I'm saying later in the day, you want to make sure that's not in your system. It can stay in your system for a long time. So you have to be careful. So
are we talking like coffee, tea, chocolate, that type of stuff?
Yep, all that stuff. Herbal tea is fine because that is caffeine free.
Right.
But green tea and black tea are gonna have that high caffeine content.
Okay.
Well, not as high as coffee, but it's gonna have caffeine in it.
I think people think, well, I'll have some green tea and it won't be as bad, but and the black tea, I was like, no, really? That's not.
Yep, they still have caffeine in them. Yep.
Yeah.
And like you, I'm glad you brought up chocolate because that's a sneaky food with caffeine in it. There are sneaky foods out there that have a little bit of caffeine in them. So I'm glad you brought up chocolate.
Well, I've always felt like chocolate was the one thing that'll just wire me up so I can't have But some of it, so I can't have it.
Yeah. Okay. So avoid caffeine. I'm blanking on what the half-life of caffeine is, but it's ridiculously long. It's longer than you think. So
be very
careful with that.
So I used to hear don't have it after 12 o'clock, and then I heard, well, don't have it after 4 o'clock. Have you heard of any times?
I have heard times, but like you, I've heard different times. So They have, like, this is the half-life of caffeine, but at the same time, it affects everyone differently.
You have to figure out what it is that affects you differently.
Yeah. So just know that even if you think caffeine has no effect on you, it might still have an effect on you.
Okay.
It can even disrupt your sleep. And make it harder to stay asleep and get good sleep. So be mindful of that. Caffeine, very dangerous for sleep.
Okay. So it could disrupt your sleep. Like you could go to sleep, but then you'd wake up in the middle of the night and it might be because of the caffeine.
Correct.
Okay. I've never heard that one, but that's good to know.
I believe that's the case.
Well, it makes sense. I mean,
if it's still in your system, it's going to affect your sleep. That's the short and the long of it.
Okay. So then we've got in bed plus feeling tired.
Feeling tired, you also want to get some sunlight in during the day and have things dark at night.
Sunlight during the day and dark
at night. And that just alerts your brain that it's daytime, it's time to be awake, and when things get dark, that alerts your brain that it's time to slow down, take it easy, and fall asleep. So that's one of the problems we have with modern life is we've got so many of these devices that have these blue lights that trick us into thinking it's time to be awake, which is why one of the best inventions is these blue light blocking glasses.
Okay.
Those come in clutch. So, am I saying you can't watch TV in the evening? No, but do know that it's going to make you think it's time to stay awake. So anything you can do to dim lights, go for mood lighting, that's going to make you feel tired in the evening.
Okay.
So that's feeling tired.
Feeling tired, okay.
And then the most important part of the sleep formula, in my opinion, is having a calm mind.
Okay.
We've all had that sensation of laying down, our head hits the pillow, and then that's when the brain starts racing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we want to avoid.
How do we achieve that calm mind?
It starts with a little of de-stressing. So
okay.
just taking time to slow down and start focusing on things other than what's stressing you out. That could mean meditation, could mean prayer, deep breathing, okay. something that's going to like calm you and sort of slow you down. You want to make sure you can put a stop to any rumination that's going on. That might be journaling and just trying to get your thoughts out of your head. I keep a journal by my bed in case I'm ruminating about something before going to bed.
Right.
I have the ability to pull out my journal and just write stuff down. Or if I feel like I'm going to forget something that I need to do the next day, I can quick write it down. That way it's externalized. It's not something I need to keep in my brain. It's something that can be released.
Yeah. I've told my clients that too. I'm like, listen, if you've got this going in your head, just grab this piece of paper and write it down. It'll just get it out of there and you won't be thinking about it as much. And they're always like, what? No, really, truly do this because it does work. And everything. I'm glad you brought that up about the journaling and everything. Is that really important?
Yeah, and then here's my little special sneak trick to getting a calm mind. It's finding something you can put your attention on that's engaging enough to get your attention, but not so engaging that it excites you.
Oh, okay.
So for me, that's this podcast I listen to. It's called Sleep With Me. It sounds sexual, but it's not. It's just this guy telling stories that are, again, interesting enough to get my attention, but not so interesting that it energizes me. And he's just got a nice, calm, soothing voice, and he tells the stories. There are many sleep podcasts out there, but that's the one I listen to. Another alternative is to listen to an audiobook, preferably something you've heard before, so that you're not on the edge of your seat wondering what's going to happen next.
Yeah, that's what I do. I listen to audiobooks, and I listen to the same ones all the time because for a while, like you, when you listen to audiobooks, you're sort of like, okay, I'm not going to really care what's going on, but you are because you want to know what's going on and everything. So, but yeah, I've listened to quite a few books many, many times, but I fall asleep, and that's the way it works. But okay, the podcast Sleep With Me, I really like that one. Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, there are other sleep podcasts out there because for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't always work with Sleep With Me. And so he's even got this page on his website of different sleep podcasts if you can't fall asleep at night to his podcast.
Oh. Okay.
So I think it's sleepwithme.com/nothankyou, I think is the website. But if you listen to his podcast, he'll give you that information. But it also... Sometimes it takes a few times listening to that podcast to try and make sure you get what's going on and you understand how the podcast works and how it affects your sleep. So it takes a few times for it to start to work. But once it works, for me anyway, it's been a game changer.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That'll be good to know for our audience and everything. So that is our sleep formula then. Would you recap it just one more time? Say the same things.
In bed plus feeling tired plus a calm mind equals sleep. So get physically into bed. Make sure your body is tired. Your body and your brain are both tired and that you've got a calm mind. Your mind is peaceful and ready to drift off to sleep.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, Alex, I'm really curious about your company name, Reset Agency. Could you tell us just a little bit about it for our audience?
Yeah, the name is a name I with permission, stole from my older brother and my sister. Up in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, they've got a practice. Well, now it's just my brother. Before, it was my brother and my sister. My sister used to be a chiropractor. Now she's not. And my brother is a mental health therapist. And so if you go to Facebook and search Reset Therapy, that's my brother. He originally had the name Reset. And when I was starting my coaching practice, I thought, gosh, what do I want to name it? And I really started to think back to when my brother and I would play N64 as kids. And we would play a sports game or whatever. And by halftime of the sports game, it would be out of control. My brother would be way ahead. And I'd have no hope of winning. And so I would want to quit. And my brother wouldn't make me quit. Wouldn't allow me to quit.
Oh, okay.
And but there was this button on the N64 called the reset button. And if I pressed that button, the game would start over. So if the game didn't end, I didn't lose.
There you go.
So that's kind of the approach I take to ADHD. When it looks like ADHD is going to kick your butt, hit the reset button, start again. Now, when I was playing video games with my brother and I did successfully get past his blockade and get to the reset button and start over, I would still lose because I would use the same strategies. I would do the same things.
Ah, got it. Yes.
So when you hit the reset button on ADHD, you need new, fresh, strength-based strategies to hopefully work with your brain, not against it.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. So reset your ADHD. Well, Alex, I know that you've published some books. Would you like to tell them about your books?
Yeah. So my first book on ADHD was Catholicism and ADHD, Finding Holiness Despite Distractions. And that came out 2019?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I have
that
it.
Sounds about right, yeah. And, yeah, for those of you out there who are Catholic and want to have a faith-based approach to managing your ADHD. That's what I wrote the book for. I was looking for that when I was starting to take my ADHD a little more seriously. Couldn't find it, so a little voice in the back of my head said, write a book. And I said, I'm just going to try it, see what happens, and now it's available on Amazon. And then just this year, I'm going to be releasing a trilogy of books. The first one is out now. As we record this, it came out in January. It's called The ADHD Life, ADHD Explained, parentheses, or That's Why I Do That. Kind of a long title, but it's just explaining ADHD, the basics about it. There might even be a chapter in there about how to explain it to others. It's just a little introduction to ADHD. And then the second book, which is due out in March. So I think this is being released in June, right? Yep. So by the time this is out, I'll have all three books out. The second book is going to be called, Stories from Climbing the ADHD Mountain.
Okay.
And that's basically my story with ADHD. The things I've learned, the things that have helped me get a handle on my ADHD, and that's book two, is my story. Book three is From Surviving ADHD to Thriving, Mindset Shifts for the ADHDer. And yes, I had to look that one up because I can't quite remember it. but that's really the end goal of this trilogy, is putting what we've learned into action, making the mindset shifts that we need to be able to, control our ADHD, but I think it's more appropriate to say work with it, because ADHD is a part of our brain wiring.
Right.
And to try and do things the neurotypical way, A, it's boring, B, it's not going to work, and C, it's just more fun and more likely to work if we work with our brain and the way it's naturally wired. So that's the key mindset shift I want to introduce in that third book.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading them and everything. So you said the first one is out. I'll have to get it. Well, Alex, we're running out of time, but I was wondering if you would tell our audience about the free gift bonus that you're giving to our audience.
Yes. So it's called Late to Bed, Late to Rise, 5 Ways to Make Your ADHD Worse. it's obviously humorous in nature. It's telling you the things you shouldn't be doing so that you can do the opposite of them. And do things that's going to help you. I mean, as you go through the ebook, which is relatively short, it's just telling you the things that will hurt your sleep and therefore hurt your ADHD, because our ADHD symptoms get worse when we haven't had enough sleep.
Absolutely.
So that's what the book is. And at the very end, it goes, now, if you want to make your ADHD better, of course, just follow the opposite of what these things are. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun creating it, and I hope you enjoy it.
Okay. It's a little tongue-in-cheek. Alex, how can they get a hold of you if they would like to talk to you or set an appointment or something like that?
Go to ResetADHD.com. There you can find links to my social media accounts, or if you just search Reset ADHD on any social media account, you'll find me. Yeah, there on my website, there's also a contact form. You can send me an email. You can also book a free consultation with me. I call it a free reset session.
Okay.
And yeah, you can book one of those, and yeah, just reach out to me. I'm, you know, even if you're not interested in coaching and you want to reach out to me and talk about sleep, that's
okay.
That's an option for you.
That's an option. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming today, Alex. We really appreciate it. You had some great things about sleep. And I just want to tell our audience to stay tuned for our next presenter and have a good day. Thank you so much.